So the epistle for the ninth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Brethren, let us not covet evil things as they also coveted, neither become ye idolaters as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed fornication, and there fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them tempted and perished by the serpents. Neither do you murmur as some of them murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happen to them in figure, and they are written for our correction, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore he that thinketh himself to stand, let him take heed lest he fall. Let no temptation take hold on you, but such as is human, and God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will make also with temptation issue that you may be able to bear it. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Luke chapter 19. At that time when Jesus drew near Jerusalem, seeing the city, he wept over it, saying, If thou also had known, and that in this thy day, the things that are to thy peace, but now they are hidden from thy eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, and thy enemy shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and straiten thee on every side, and beat thee flat to the ground, and thy children who are in thee, and they shall not leave in thee a stone upon a stone, because thou hast not known the time of thy visitation. And entering into the temple, he began to cast out them that sold therein, and them that bought, saying to them, It is written, My house is the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he was teaching daily in the temple. Please be seated. Wherefore he that thinketh himself to stand, let him take heed lest he fall. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. In today's Mass, it's interesting just to see how the Church gives us the idea of, one, the punishment that is necessary for our sins, but then also, in turn, the mercy and the goodness that God has for our souls. When we see in the Gospel accounts of how our Lord, He weeps over the fact of how Jerusalem had fallen, how it had fallen away from God's law, the infidelity that was there. And so therefore that our Lord weeps over the fact also that he would have to punish. Out of his justice, he would have to punish them. Because they have transgressed his laws. They have turned their back on our Lord. And so therefore, because of that infidelity, he would have to punish. He would have to punish them for that. But as I say also, there is in the epistle, very consoling words from St. Paul, saying that God is faithful to us, that God, Almighty God, will never allow us to be tempted more than we can handle. One, this is a mercy of God. But it shows to us of how much God thinks of us. How much that God cares for our souls. That yes, he will never allow us to be tempted more than we can handle. That always, that his grace will be there for us. But also look at the warning that is given. Look at the warning that is given to us. He that thinketh himself to stand, let him take heed lest he fall. So if we think that we can handle the situations, if we think that we can handle the circumstances that we place ourselves in, take heed. Take heed because you will fall. And that is where we have to understand when we think about temptation itself. I mean, as Sacred Scripture says, God will never put us in a situation that we will fall. Because God is merciful. God wants us to get to heaven, so he will never put us in a situation that we will definitely fall from that. So then the question becomes, well then how do we fall into sin? If we have God's grace there for us, Well, one, we can turn our back on God's grace, very simply. We don't pray, we don't ask for the help. We don't consider those things at the time of the temptation. So yes, very simply, we just don't work with God's grace. But then also we have to try to look at and understand. If we place ourselves in temptation, well, we will fall. If we place ourselves in occasions of sin, that is why we will fall, because we are turning our back on God's grace. We are basically telling God it doesn't matter. And so that is the thing that we must try to understand. And that's why I say retreats are so good for us. Because it gives us 5 days, 6 days to pray and to think before God. Well, we have that silence. It's a mandatory silence, yes. But trust me, I'm sure being out in the world, you realize how necessary that silence is to get away from things, to be able to think, to allow yourself even the chance to think. And how clearly it shows to us what are the things that we need to take a resolution on. And that was a thing that Father had encouraged us. He said, well, make sure you have your resolutions. He said, first off, don't take many resolutions, because normally when we take a lot of resolutions, we end up don't keeping some of them, and then we just give up on all of them, because we feel kind of useless, and it's like, okay, well, I didn't keep that one, so forget it. So he said, don't take many. But then also a good reminder that he gave. He said, keep your resolutions handy. Don't like bury them somewhere. It's like, okay, you make your retreat in August, and then it's like, you know, you can't even remember where you put them, or you can't even remember what they are. So how can you keep them? So he said, keep them handy for yourself. And as priests, since we, you know, make our days of recollection each month, he said, take that opportunity to look over your resolutions and see, have I been faithful to it? Have I failed in it? What have I done in terms of the resolutions that I've made? And so there we have then a constant reminder to us of one, the graces that we received on that retreat to make these resolutions, but then also asking for the graces to help us each day to continue keeping those resolutions. And sometimes the resolutions may be so clear to us and so easy for us to see. It's like, oh, you know what? I need to avoid this occasion of sin. I need to stay away from this person, or I need to, you know, avoid this company, whatever it may be. I mean, yes, sometimes it can be so clear to us. And all we needed is the grace of the retreat to be able to make that final push and to do it. I mean, that is what the grace of the retreats are for. I mean, preaching the retreats, of witnessing that, you will see souls that will be desirous of doing something for the love of God. And so, yes, it maybe that's all they needed to realize, you know, I have to cut ties with this, or I need to avoid this, or I need to stop doing this, whatever it may be. And they realize at that point, if I truly want to serve God and to get to heaven, I must do this. And yes, it's a, we can say a slap in the face. It's a wake-up call. I mean, retreats, they will treat people differently. But as I've said to you with the days of recollection or whatever it may be, it depends on how much you put into it. If you go with the fact of, okay, well, I get 5 days off. I don't have to, you know, worry about my family, or I don't have to bother with anybody, you know, I can stay away from the internet, you know, in emails, and then come back with 177 of them. That's discouraging, coming back to that and seeing it. It's like, that's where you just click off the computer and just move on. It's like, okay, well, I think I'm still in retreat. So if I'm a little slow in responding to you, realize I have many to go through. Sometimes you want to keep that silence of your retreat as long as you can. But from that, it depends on how much you put into it. And so when we have the days of recollection here, or when we have the retreat, those that made the retreat, or if now with a possibility of a men's retreat, be fervent in trying to give that to God. Because that is what will determine your salvation, is how fervent you are to God. And so that is why our Lord laments over the fact of Jerusalem. Because they were unfaithful to him. And so his only recourse was to punish them. He lamented that fact, but he had to. Because maybe that punishment is what they needed to wake up. And we have Jeremiah the prophet lamenting Jerusalem, saying, convert, come back to God. We have that during Holy Week, during Tenebrae. He's lamenting and saying, wake up, come back to God. This is why you were created. And that is the whole basis of the retreats that is shown to us. This is why you were created. You were created to go back to God. And how so many of us, we get so caught up with our own desires, our own wants, our own will, everything. It was interesting that Father had brought up in one of the conferences. His retreat was based on the gospel. But you think it's okay, that sounds simple enough. And it was amazing how easy he presented everything and how everything made so much sense. And it was obviously a grace. But he was talking about some of the parables. He was talking about some of the things. And he gave the example of the woman who was suffering from the issue of blood. And all she wanted to do was to touch the hem of the garment of our Lord. That's it. And she said, I'll be cured. If I can just touch that, I'll be cured. And so she did. She evidently gained the courage, goes over, touches the hem of our Lord, and there's a whole crowd around our Lord and everything. And our Lord says, who touched me? And obviously she kind of backs up. It's like, looking around. It's like, now what? So St. Peter looks at our Lord and says, there's everyone around here, Lord. Anyone could have pushed up against you or touched you or anything. And so our Lord said, who touched me? Because he said that the grace came out into that soul. And so then she comes up, she acknowledges it, and she acknowledges the fact that she just wanted to be cured. And our Lord said, your faith has made you whole. So one, you see the example of this woman, that her faith, the true faith that she had, it converted her, and it cured her of this physical illness. But he brought up the point, which was very interesting, of how all she wanted to do was just touch the hem of our Lord. And how so often that we sometimes will push up against divine providence. Where for her, she was just basically going along for the ride. Just holding on barely to the tassel, the hem of our Lord, that's it. But he gave the example of how so often so many of us, we push up against divine providence, pushing God's will, trying to form it into our will. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, look, what do you know? It looks like it's God's will that I do this. And it's like, no, actually, that's your will that you're claiming is God's will. And that's what he was trying to explain, especially as priest, that we have to be careful of that. That we can't just push up against things. That we can't push God's will. That we have to allow divine providence to work into our soul. But that can only come from a soul that is generous, that a soul that is willing to accept then the graces of God. And that was one of the basis of his retreat, is the generosity, being open to God, being open to God's grace. And I would say that it's something that also that we look at the epistle and the gospel. It is, again, a reminder to us of being open to God's grace, of working with God's grace. that God will give us the graces we need to help us every day of our life. But if we push up against that, if we consider, well, this is what I want, these are the things that I want to do, and God shows to us that this is not his will, that is a danger for our soul. And so therefore, yes, we're the ones that will try to stand when we don't have any business standing, because we are not standing with God's grace. And so we will fall, very clearly. And then we're fallen, and then what? I mean, what happens at that point? Do we get up and then work with God's grace to overcome it? Or do we just basically stay in that same state? And that's how sometimes souls will live. As I mentioned to you, thinking at some point, well, I'll convert. I'll change my ways, or I'll, you know. We have to realize that God expects that right now. By going on retreat, I was looking back at some of my other retreat notes. I think it was the fourth year I was a priest. A priest had preached to us, scared the daylights out of us. Because of the thing, he said there's a really good chance that all of us could go to hell. And so we're all sitting there going, what did I come on this retreat for? It's like, and what he was trying to get us to understand is like, if we do not work with God's grace, it is very clear that we could easily fall away from sanctifying grace. And he said, you have to think about that. You have to consider that. That if you think you can do it on your own without God's grace, good luck. But like I said, that was like his opening like statement from the retreat. It's kind of like, I'm going home. I'll go to the other one. But I was looking at my notes, and that was one of the main things that stuck out in my notes. I probably like underlined it a couple of times. It's like, read this one over. But it is a good reminder to us to think, if we don't work with God's grace, good luck. I mean, sacred scripture says it exactly the same way. If you think you can stand, take heed. You're gonna fall. And then if you fall, will you be able to get back up again? And so that is something for us to consider. Why our Lord wept over Jerusalem? Because of their infidelity. Because that they turned their back on God. And so that is why Jeremiah lamented that. That is why he cried to them, convert, come back to God. And that is the whole purpose for us to make reparation. And that is the whole purpose of our pilgrimage. Our pilgrimage is one of reparation. It is one of many graces, as I mentioned to you. Look at all the opportunities of grace you have, both of the days. But it is also something that all of us can offer in a spirit of reparation, whether for our own sins that we definitely know we have, or the sins of the world. And how very clearly we have to repair for that. So as I say, you walk 1 mile with that true spirit of reparation, and God is pleased. You walk 50 miles because you want to show that you can do it, you will probably fall. Maybe not literally, but you never know. And so that is the thing that we must understand. If all of us can take part in it, every single one of us, with a spirit of reparation, whether you're praying at home, whether you're driving a van, whether you're helping with the food, whether you're walking, whether you're setting up for things, whatever you can do with that spirit, that will be pleasing to God. And that is what will help our Lord. And we will repair for the sins of mankind. And so that's why I encourage you this coming Friday and Saturday, whether you're walking with us, whether you're at home, have a spirit of reparation. Think of the souls that are walking if you're at home. Don't kick back, turn on your air conditioner, drink a Coke, and then, bet they're going to burn out there. No, have a spirit of reparation. try to offer some things to God yourself, but unite yourself in prayer. Unite yourself in prayer for that. And so these are the things that all of us can do. It doesn't matter if we can't walk the pilgrimage. As I mentioned to you, it doesn't matter if you walk 1 mile or 50 miles. It only depends on what kind of a spirit you come into it with. But that spirit must be something that we have every day of our life. I mean, as Father Pika told us, think, because you could easily lose your soul. Consider that. And that's why I say, I encourage you, make a retreat. There is nothing more important that you could do for 5 days of your life. And coming off a retreat, I mean, we make one every year, and thanks be to God. God knows we need it. But I encourage you to look into a retreat. You know, if you're old enough to make a retreat, which is around 18 years old, 18 and older, you're eligible. But consider that, because, as I say, there is no better 5 days of your life that you will spend. Because you will spend it in silence, you will spend it in thinking about God, and you will spend it trying to save your soul. And you may have some eye-opening resolutions at the end of it that you never would have thought about unless you went on retreat. But I think the pilgrimages, the days of recollection, they are a taste of the retreats for us. And I know, you know, many will come back, well, I can't get off work, or I can't do this, I can't do that. Somehow we manage to take our vacation. Obviously, I'm not saying that vacation is not important for you. It is. Family vacations are very important. But if we can somehow manage to take our vacation every year, we can use 5 of it for a retreat. I just suggest that. I mean, how do we explain things to God? I was too busy, couldn't make the time for it. And God will say, well, that was the whole reason I put you on this earth, is to make the time to save your soul. Oh, I guess I was a little confused. Guess so. So as I say, the pilgrimage, take advantage of that. It is a taste of what the retreats are like. The meditations, the contemplation of the things of God, the prayers, the chance for confession. Many opportunities for graces. But there are so many opportunities of graces that we lose. So many opportunities that we let go by, thinking that at some point we'll catch up to it. And obviously God will continue to offer graces to our soul. But if we keep turning our back on it, we're missing out on so many chances to have a greater perfection and a greater love for God. So do pray, pray much, but do have a spirit of reparation, especially for these coming days, Friday and Saturday, to try to win to Almighty God and ask for these graces from Him, for our parish, for our families, for the church, that we will console our Lord, that He will not have to lament over our sins. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.